There's been a lot of research and writing lately about the quality of resilience, our ability to deal with tough situations and bounce back.
World War Z author Max Weiss was on Central Time a while back, and he worried that the millennial generation was too protected from hardship and that they weren't building up enough resilience as a result.
And that got us interested in tackling the idea of resilience. And we have Mary Steinhardt with us now. She's professor of health education and health behavior at the University of Texas, Austin. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Let's start and talk about the quality of resilience. How do you define it? What is it?
It's our ability to bounce back and recover from change and other stressful situations, how we deal with adversity.
And why is it getting so much attention right now?
Well, I think there's, you know, a lot of stress in people's lives, and you know, how we respond to change and stressful situations is an indicator of quality of life. You know, and I think it's a lot on. It's a buzzword for athletics, and it's just all over the news. But it's a very real concept, and you know, because stressful situations and change are such a natural part of life, and our ability to adapt helps us grow.
Do you think that resilience is something that, you know, you're born with, or you're not, or is it something that you can cultivate and grow a little bit?
I think it's a combination of both. I think that, you know, that we all have different personalities, and people are born into the world different, but I definitely think that it's something to cultivate. And that's what makes it, I think, such a fascinating concept, is that people, you know, people who struggle with stress and change in their lives can be hopeful that they can develop some resources and skills to handle adversity better.
Do you think that if someone is born with a pretty smooth life, they have their needs provided for, they have enough money, they have a loving home, they have access to education and their healthcare needs, is there a way in which that might actually be doing them a disservice because they're not getting the chance to build resilience?
Well, stress in a sense is good. Stress helps us grow. So yeah, I mean, I do think that you know, we have to have change in stressful situations to be able to adapt to. So you do find that most people that are more resilient have had more stressors in their life. But, you know, I tell freshmen or I tell students at UT, there's no need for us to go out and create things that stress them out. If they just live, you know, we all are going to face adversity.
Well, what is something that someone could do if they wanted to work on resilience? And they're going through a tough patch in their life. Sometimes, you know, the holidays can be tough times for people for various reasons. This might be a good time to work on resilience. Where do we start?
Well, I don't know that, you know, during the holidays, which can be very stressful. I mean, too much stress can break us down. So it may not be the time to have tremendous change in your life. But, you know, a good start would be to remind yourself to own your power, to take responsibility. That's the first thing. So rather than make excuses or blame somebody else or live in denial or shame ourselves, we need to take responsibility. Second important thing would be to focus on positive thoughts and positive emotions rather than the negativity that's so pervasive in our society today. And the third important thing would be to create meaningful relationships that nurture and support us in our lives. So those are the three things we like to talk about: taking responsibility, focusing on empowering yet realistic thoughts and positive emotions, and creating meaningful relationships.
Well, let's pick those qualities apart a little bit, or those steps that people can use to learn resilience. You said owning your own power. That's a pretty cool phrase. I like that. So how does that play out in my life if I'm going through something rough?
Well, we would say if you had a stressful situation that you didn't think that you handled particularly well, try to rewind the situation when you're in a space where you're calm, maybe by yourself, have a little bit of quietness, and replay it like you're replaying a movie, where you can be kind of an observer, where you can just watch and with no judgment. And you identify your position, as we say, on the responsibility model. So how much were you taking responsibility? How much were you shaming? Were you blaming somebody else? Were you making excuses? Were you in denial? So you just kind of watch it like you're a character in the movie. And then you have to stop, and once you've watched a replay of the movie, so you get a little bit of distance from it, you ask your heart with a lot of humility how you feel about the movie you just watched. And you kind of evaluate it. And then you, in your mind's eye, create a new movie, which is an image of what you want to happen. And then, you know, on a daily basis, you you take responsibility for producing that new movie. And you replay that over and over and over again to where it becomes almost automatic, where you can kind of drive home. And as you're driving home, think, replay a situation in your head, identify your, you know, where you were, taking responsibility. Maybe you took responsibility 10% and you're trying to build on that, but mainly you were blaming yourself and shaming, blaming others and shaming yourself. And then you recommit to the vision, that what you want. Does that help? You know?
Yeah, yeah. So are you visualizing this movie? Is that part of it?
Well, the movie is typically, I mean, you could visualize a movie of what you want to happen. I tend to think of that as a jigsaw puzzle. If we had a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle and we put all the pieces out on the table and said, put it together, you would ask me, well, Mary, where's the box? You need to see a picture of what you're going to put together. And that helps you to put it together. You know, you might do the edge pieces first, but when you get to the middle, you have to have the discipline and the dedication to really go after what you want, which is to put that puzzle together. The same thing in our lives. We have to have a vision, a mental image of what we want. And then we have to take responsibility for, you know, for living our life in a way that will help us get our goals. Not that it's not a constant process of readjusting our goals and looking at what's realistic and maybe going down a different path. But we're constantly asking ourselves, what is it that I want and how can I best get there?
Hmm. So is that, you know, part of getting out of the victim mentality? I read a quote from Nora Ephron on resilience saying, be the heroine of your own life, not the victim. Is it important not to be the victim?
Yeah, it's important to accept the reality of what it is that we're facing. But then to try to take responsibility for what it is we want. And oftentimes being, you know, just being realistic yet positive will help move us in that direction. But also then creating these relationships which support us and nurture us, surrounding ourselves with people that we respect and that love us and support us.
So the thing about creating relationships is that, you know, it takes a lot of time. What do you do if you're in that crisis moment and you feel like your support network isn't there? I mean, it's hard to create that moment in the spot because we're talking about something that takes years to cultivate. How do you balance that?
Well, you might have to reassess, are you surrounded by people that really do support you? Maybe you need new relationships. Maybe it's the way in which you approach the people. Maybe there's too much negativity and you're the one that needs to work on yourself. You know, but it's also the little interactions, like how we treat the person at the checkout line in the grocery store, or our coworkers, you know, our boss, and our family, most importantly.
But in general, you know, if you can, you're saying reach out to someone who does support you. That it's better not to go it alone.
I think so. I mean, it absolutely. I mean, it's good that we are able to have solitude and be by ourselves and enjoy ourselves. I mean, people can be lonely in a crowd, but it's also good that we develop nurturing relationships.
Can learning resilience benefit our health?
Yeah, I believe so. Absolutely. People who are more positive or less depressed, they're less anxious. They do take more responsibility. I mean, when we just think of people that are angry, we tend to link hostility and anger to heart disease. If we think about being negative and thinking negative thoughts, oftentimes we can't think clearly. Versus when we're positive, our mind is more expansive and more opportunities and options come to us. And that improves our mental health for sure.
We're talking about resilience right now with Mary Steinhardt, and we're wondering about how we can boost our resilience. Mary's a professor of health education and health behavior at the University of Texas, Austin.
You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about resilience or examples of how it's worked in your life or how you've brought it out in yourself? Again, the number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org.
We continue our conversation about resilience with Mary Steinhardt of the University of Texas, talking about this quality and how it can help us succeed in life and lead healthier, happier lives as well. You can get in touch with us with your questions about resilience and maybe give a story about how you learned it and why it matters to you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email talk@wpr.org. And Mary, in terms of work, that's a place where a lot of, you know, grown-ups feel stress. They've got maybe a lot of things to juggle. Maybe they've got some toxic work relationships going on. How does resilience come into play there?
Well, first and foremost, I think they've got to find, you know, positive relationships. You know, maybe just start with one coworker, but we really need to a job where we like who we're working with and our relationships are good. It helps when people can find meaning and purpose in their work and they feel like they're accomplishing something. So accomplishment at work is very important. Meaning and purpose in your life is important, even if it's just that I'm going to do the best job I can at this work so I can provide for my family. But we all need positive relationships at work. We spend so much time there.
Yeah, that's true. In terms of taking responsibility. Now, we talked about that a little while ago, about owning your power. But what about, you know, the inexplicable catastrophe, a death, a freak accident, the type of thing that you can't take responsibility for? How do you cultivate resilience then?
Well, you know, some people are able to do it much better than others. You know, if one of my daughters were killed, you know, it would really get me. I'd be devastated, and I don't think I could cultivate any resilience. It would take me a long time to get over it, and I think I would never get over it. So I'm not sure that, you know, war when people are killed and those types of things, I think they really take put a dent in our level of resilience. There's some people that go through diseases and they say this is the best thing that happened to me. But I do believe that, you know, there are difficult things in our lives. The way I look at it, it's like most stress is good, but not all stress. And so if we went to the gym and worked out and we lifted weights, if I'm trying to get stronger, if I stress my muscle and then rest and recover, my body gets stronger. But if I overtrain, I could get injured. If I undertrain, my muscles could atrophy. So we need an appropriate amount of stress, and then we can rest and recover. So stress is good, and it helps us grow stronger. We might plan to go to the gym, whereas typically psychological stress, emotional stress blindsides us. And so as best we can, if we can try not to say, oh, this is horrible, but oh, this is an opportunity to grow. But when the stress is unsurmountable, we need to take a break, and we may need a period to grieve, and we need one or two close relationships that help us get through it and slowly recover.
In terms of rest, that can be something that is the first thing to go out the window when we're under those times of stress, when we're talking, that you're talking about. Does resilience have a relationship with rest and sleeping and taking time for sort of mental hygiene?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, rest is very important, but resting can come in different ways. You know, if I'm driving down to UT and I one of my daughters calls me, that can be really restorative in just a 2-minute phone call. I mean, your wonderful volleyball team there beat us last night playing for the national championship. And I guess those girls are probably tired. Their legs are tired. But you let them get some positive strokes, you know, have a couple of upbeat conversations, and they're ready to move forward. So it doesn't take a lot if what we're really doing is refreshing us. Of course, we need, you know, we need 7-8 hours of sleep a night. Some people can operate on a little less. Some people need a little bit more. So we just need to listen to our body. But rest is very important.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Chris on the line from Adams County. Hi, Chris.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing okay. How about you?
Yeah, well, you know, we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and it's going to snow on us, so I suspect that that's about the best we could do. You know, the thing I wanted to say, because I've been through the mill. I really have been through the mill. And you have to take care of yourself. That's the first thing you have to do, and you have to learn how to do that. But the thing is, the authorities are out there to just nail you to a wall. They're just like, nobody is pleasant about this. Nobody is happy about this, and people just will come at you. And things have to change in America. I mean, that's basically what I want to say, is that people need to get a better attitude about dealing with people who are at the bottom of society, because they're at the bottom of society for a reason, for the most part.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, for your thoughts there. And Chris, sort of getting at maybe issues of compassion from other people.
Yeah, we need much more compassion in the world, for sure. But, you know, Chris may see 9 negative people, and then the 10th person may be very positive and respectful. And I think the more we focus on that one person that's positive and respectful, and we can build more and more compassion and positivity in the world. But, some of it is our outlook. I mean, you know, it's just like Wisconsin beat Texas last night, and we can be negative about it, or we can say, wow, what a wonderful, you know, volleyball team we have. Those kids do well academically. They had a huge winning streak. What a successful season. We wish the best for Wisconsin, and they go on and make us look really good in the finals. And, you know, I could worry about it all day and be negative about it all day, or we could move forward and be happy for how far they got. And I realize that's not as devastating as, say, or as deep as poverty or, or abuse or some of the things that people deal with. But at some level, the fundamentals are the same. We have to take more and more responsibility. We have to think realistic yet, positive, in ways that support us and help us. And we've got to create some meaningful relationships, meaning and purpose in our life, and a sense of accomplishment in our life, because that's gonna give us a better life.
Now, Mary, when we're talking about success in life, and there's been a lot of research about education, for instance, and the quality of grit, which is another term more or less for resilience, is resilience becoming, you know, the new way to go for everybody, that we should be focusing on this quality instead of, you know, just celebrating someone who seems outlandishly talented at something? We should be celebrating the kid who has grit or the employee who has resilience instead.
Well, I mean, you know, we could talk about what is greatness, you know. I mean, definitely when you turn on the TV and you watch athletic greatness, people are talented. Or if I, you know, listen to some professors at my university, they're brilliant. But the housing and food employee who serves me lunch or dinner with pride and points out the healthy option of the day and wears their wellness T-shirt, I mean, you know, that's and works 2 jobs to provide for their family. In my mind, that's greatness. You know, if one of my kids gets a 4.0 in college and the other one gets a 3.0 or a 2.5, and that's the best they can do, and they're improving, then, I'm proud of them. But I do think, I mean, sometimes I think this grit is overrated. I mean, life is precious and it goes very fast, and we put a tremendous amount of pressure on kids, young kids going through the public school system, and you know, I think as parents, we got to be careful of that.
And Mary, as we wind up here, what are 1 or 2 things that we could try to increase our resilience? The next time we encounter that rough patch, what is one or two simple things?
I think you could say, "Oh, now this is an opportunity." Oh, you know, oh, good. Isn't that interesting? This is an opportunity for me to grow.
to become more resilient, to build my resilience? How can I take responsibility? How can I think in a positive manner? And who can help me here?
Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some stuff to think about.
Yeah, you're welcome, and happy holidays.
And happy holidays to you as well. That was Mary Steinhart, Professor of Health Education and Health Behavior at the University of Texas, Austin.